This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
He's a good football player, so, and he can do so many things. I don't know. I mean, I'm not there. I've never. Yeah. I think they'll work it out. I mean, that's what they're doing right now. So, you know, I don't know exactly what he said, but if he's saying that, then he's working through it. And, you know, it's important that we kind of get ourselves right to play a guy that can do so many different things. He'll be one of the faster guys on the field. You know, he can do all of that. Smart. He's got a good arm.
Felt like I was listening to a press conference by Bill Belichick last year. Remember when he went on for like 6 minutes about Justin Fields or however long it was? Justin Fields amazing. This is what he does great. That's what I felt like I was listening to. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Hub Arcus here on 670 The Score, broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios. Brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Bears taking on the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday. And, of course, today is a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday presented by your local Ford dealers and It's Not a Game, Illinois.com. The Bears pregame show, Mully, Olin Krutz, Pat Manley. That's going to be happening before the game, and then they'll give you all their live reactions as well following it right here on 670 The Score. Right now, we get a chance to talk to someone who gets to hear from Andy Reid every single week. He's joining us right now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And, of course, it's one of my old co-hosts, Alex Gold, hanging out with us. Alex, what's going on, man? Long time no talk.
Yeah, what's going on, guys? Great to be back on with you. I think we talked last year a little bit, but I think that was closer to the postseason, a little earlier this year, and kind of a weird feeling for this game in KC. Nobody really knows kind of what to expect fully. You know, there's some people that think it's just going to be a complete demolition of the Chicago Bears, and there's some others that are a little nervous.
Yeah, I mean, 12.5 point dogs is something that, yeah, that people think it's going to be a whooping. But I feel like the Kansas City Chiefs aren't necessarily firing on all cylinders at the beginning of the season. What do you say about that, Alex?
Yeah, they're definitely not. I mean, that's been the story. We all certainly watched that Lions game to open up the season. And then last week, despite getting the win down in Jacksonville, I mean, this was a team that had double-digit penalties and lost the turnover battle. It's honestly pretty remarkable they were able to go down to Jacksonville and get a win against a team that I think we all believe will end up winning that AFC South and maybe even compete for the number one seed. And the reason why they're able to be 1-1 and not 0-2 despite the mistakes is this defense. When we talk about the offense, which certainly has been disappointing at this point, but the defense is why a lot of people are optimistic here in Kansas City that at some point the offense will get this thing figured out. But Patrick Mahomes might have the best defense he's ever had since he's been the quarterback, and we know he's won a couple rings despite having a middle-of-the-road defense most years. But right now, this defense has only given up 2 touchdowns to opponents' offense. They've been put in some bad spots, including last week, and they were able to really keep the Jags out of the end zone when they got to the red zone. So this defense that had so many young pieces that started and played games last year on their way to a Super Bowl, now you're reaping the benefits of some experience, and they're still not even full strength yet defensively. I mean, Charles Omenihu is someone they signed in the offseason who suspended the first 6 games. So a lot of optimism around Steve Spagnuolo's defense and just how good they could be.
Alex, I'm curious, after that first loss to the Lions, what was the attitude that you saw from the players? I mean, in those first couple of days of practice, I mean, surprised, disappointed, no problem, you know, it's just one game. How did they react to losing that first game to the Lions?
I think frustration, and I still think that's carried over, specifically on the offensive side. Patrick Mahomes was frustrated after the Lions loss, and then even this win against Jacksonville, if you watch the game and just notice some of the comments that were made by him and others on offense, I think they're frustrated knowing that, you know, what they've been offensively in the past, which has been essentially the number one offense in football, or at minimum a top five offense, and they know they're not clicking right now. And I think what we're finding out here is that this offense maybe is going to take a little bit more time. Last year, everybody was talking about the loss of Tyreek Hill and what would they do at wide receiver. Well, I think they surprised people by how quickly they were able to kind of move on and still be a top offense. I get the sense now, we've seen it 2 weeks in, with so many new pieces on offense, specifically, you know, unproven guys at the wide receiver spot, and then Travis Kelce was out week one, and it's still, you know, maybe trying to get fully back in the groove. I think we're finding out this is going to take a little bit longer this go around, perhaps, to get the offense to where they want it to be. They just have the, you know, I think the fact that they have the benefit of a great defense right now and the schedule suddenly on paper is much easier out of the gate than everybody thought. I mean, this game against the Bears is kind of kicking off a stretch. You know, you get Minnesota, you get the Jets, you get the Broncos going through this stretch. It's not suddenly as tough as it looked on paper heading in.
You know, Alex, I'm glad you mentioned the wide receivers, though, because that first game, that loss to the Lions, if those wide receivers make half the plays they didn't make, I think they probably win the game.
Right.
You know, I couldn't believe how bad the wide receiver play was. It was a little better last week, but, you know, it still has to be a concern. Are they good enough at wide receiver to get the offense back to where it was last year?
I think that is the number one question right now with this football team. It's not anywhere else. It's not offensive line. It is the wide receivers, and whether or not here in 2 or 3 weeks people are going to be clamoring for them to go make a trade at the trade deadline for a more proven wide receiver. I don't think we're there yet, but that definitely will come if they're not able to get some more guys comfortable in this offense that on a third down, other than Travis Kelce, who can you count on? Who can get separation? Really, the only guy in the wide receiver room that's gotten separation has been Kadarius Toney, but he's played limited snaps, and now he's dealing with a sprained toe this week. We know he struggles to stay on the field and stay healthy. And so, and he had the drops in the week one game, despite that he was getting separation. So that was the only benefit with Toney, is he was actually able to get open. Guys like Sky Moore and others have really struggled to do that. I think this week against Chicago, when Richie James is unavailable, Toney's a little banged up in this game, I think this is an opportunity for someone like Rashee Rice, the Chiefs rookie at SMU, to continue to get more involved. He's been very impressive for a rookie in Andy Reid's offense. There's not many of them that have an impact right away, other than really DeSean Jackson going back to his Eagles days. They don't really allow, in a way, the wide receiver as a rookie to come and be a huge part of the offense, but I wonder if that's going to have to happen for them going forward. So the wide receivers right now certainly have been an issue and a problem, and I think they're all just trying to figure this thing out still.
We're talking to Alex Gold here on 670 The Score, host of Cody and Gold. You can catch him on 610 Sports Kansas City if you download that Odyssey app. Alex, let's talk about Travis Kelce. I mean, obviously he missed the first game, you know, back for the second one. Where is he at in just his recovery? Do you feel like he came back too soon? He just wanted to be another piece? Or is he fully where he needs to be in order to contribute to the squad?
So he wasn't held back at all this week at practice. And from the media portion, there wasn't even the sleeve on that knee anymore that he had been wearing. So by all accounts, he is full steam ahead. I still question a little bit whether or not just getting out of the sink of the offense for a week or so still throws you off a little bit to get acclimated. But in terms of health, I mean, there's nothing holding him back from a game perspective on Sunday. I mean, they expect him to be a full go. You know, last week he got the touchdown, but you could still tell he, at that point in time, still maybe wasn't moving the way that he typically would. But as far as a real injury concern, I think Chiefs fans are past that, and I think the Chiefs as a team are past that. And you notice just even his presence on the field, even if he's not the one going for 80 yards, him being on the field just changes everything for this offense. It opens things up for guys like Sky Moore and Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who I think actually, guys, if you're asking for a player who I think could benefit big time on Sunday going up against the Bears secondary as a deep threat, it's MVS, who obviously played for the Packers for many years.
Hey, Alex, I usually stay away from this kind of stuff, but I can't with this one. I have to ask the question, should we expect to see Taylor Swift to the stands on Sunday?
You know, we've had a ton of fun with this. We can't get enough, right? It's great content all week. Look, I think at some point Taylor Swift's got to come to Arrowhead. I don't think it's this week. I think if it ever happens, how about Monday Night Football in November, Eagles at Arrowhead. She's an Eagles fan. I think you get her in the suite, the same seat that Chris Jones was sitting in there that Thursday night opener against the Lions when he was flanked by his two agents. I think that's when you get Taylor Swift out to Arrowhead.
Yeah, and then you guys lose and nobody wants her back ever again in the city.
Hey, you don't need the Jessica Simpson situation. Yeah, I don't need her wearing a Kelsey jersey or anything.
Alex, let me ask you this, man. I mean, obviously, you know, there still is optimism here in Chicago when it comes to this squad and what their abilities can be. Justin Fields talking to the press a lot this week about, you know, what he needs to do in order to change his game, get back to playing, balling out how he likes to play. The Chicago Bears can win this game if what, though? Like if they do, or if Kansas City doesn't do, what would that be for you? If you know, as you're looking ahead to this game and you're like, the one thing I'm fearful of is that this happens. What is that for you?
Well, I think you're always somewhat fearful of a desperate team, right? And a team that, you know, quote unquote, has nothing to lose, even though it's week three. It's bizarre to even say that week three of the season, but I feel like that's the spot the Bears are already on. And sometimes, you know, these games go one of two ways. Either the Chiefs are going to flat out destroy Chicago after the crazy week you guys have had there, or this is going to be a much closer dogfight. I mean, many, many years ago, the Chiefs were a two-win team, and I think the Packers were undefeated or something along those lines. And Romeo Crennel, as an interim head coach of the Chiefs, went and beat the Packers, and it actually helped them get the head coaching gig. I mean, last year, the Chiefs lost to the Colts, but the Colts were a much better team, I think, than the Bears, and that was on the road. I think for this game to end up with the Bears winning, it's going to take the Chiefs having a performance like they did in Jacksonville, but even worse, because they still found a way to win down in Jacksonville despite double-digit penalties, despite losing the turnover battle. I think it would take that kind of situation just for it to be dicey in the fourth quarter. You know, I think Kansas City still wins this thing pretty comfortably. I've been saying all week on the show, the Justin Fields comments actually make me a little bit more nervous that we could see, you know, the Bears offense, at least in Kansas City, from the Chiefs perspective, you could see Justin Fields and the Bears offense early on in the game. I actually wouldn't be surprised if they look decent if Chicago moves the ball down the field in the first quarter because they let Justin Fields actually run the ball a little bit, design some things for him. I just wonder once the adjustments happen. I mean, you just go through, other than wide receiver one, DJ Moore, I don't think there's a single other area where you could say the Bears have any sort of advantage in this game.
Hey, I'll tell you this. Might not be able to say this later in the season, but the Bears and the Kansas City Chiefs tied at 22nd for point score per game. Just so you know, they're up there. They're
there
up
you go. There.
There
you go.
You know, Alex, some other numbers that are interesting about the Chiefs and that offense is that everybody saw the problems with the wide receivers in that week one game, and yet you look at the stats and you've got the Kansas City Chiefs sixth in the NFL in passing, but they are struggling 21st running the football. How do the Chiefs get their running game going, and what are they doing about that?
There's been an ongoing issue. You know, I know it's Andy Reid. We know he's never going to be run first, nor should he. You have Patrick Mahomes, your quarterback. But last week they ran the ball, guys, twice in the first half, and that was when they were really struggling. You got to at least have some sort of threat to run the ball to your opponent. What do they do in the second half? One of the first plays, they run it with Isaiah Pacheco. He gets 30 yards, kind of open things up a little bit. I do think they have to try to run the ball more for an offensive line that I actually think is very good. If you take a look at that interior of the offensive line, there's not many better interior O-lines in football. But a lot of this is, I think, Andy's hesitancy to actually run the football just in general. It's not that maybe they can't always do it. I mean, you guys will watch on Sunday, third and ones. If there's a fourth and one, they typically struggle in that situation going back the last couple of years. They won't do a QB sneak with Patrick Mahomes after the knee injury that he suffered. They won't bring in Blaine Gabbert and do a QB sneak. They try to get too creative. We finally saw them on a 4th-and-1 last week just go with a, you know, a basic halfback dive with Isaiah Pacheco and let him try to run a guy over, which is what he typically does anyway. So a lot of it is, I think, just Andy almost gets bored. We call it play-calling arrogance at times on these short yardage situations, which I think also impacts the running game.
Let's talk about the running game, you know, for the Chicago Bears. You know, obviously you guys are going to see a little bit more Justin Fields. That's the hope. Khalil Herbert's there. And then, you know, you and I talked a lot about, you know, Bijan last year, and now we get to see a Roschon Johnson. You know, what are your thoughts on, do you feel the same way that most people feel when it comes to Roschon Johnson, that, you know, if he wasn't behind a Bijan in college somewhere else, you know, he still would be like that kind of a top tier guy?
Yeah, I'm interested to see what he looks like and if it is true that he's actually going to end up being the guy this weekend and they lean on him. I mean, as far as how he fares against Kansas City, you know, their interior on the defensive line, somebody that doesn't get a lot of love is a guy by the name of Derek Nnadi, who's become more than just a run stuffer. He's actually gotten a lot better when it comes to getting after the quarterback. But they haven't really been fully tested yet. I know week one combo of Montgomery and Gibbs, you're like, oh, that's a pretty good combo to go up against. But I actually thought they did a decent job overall till late in the game, where they wore down a little bit. But as far as Roschon Johnson and explosiveness, the Chiefs typically in a passing game is when they've struggled with running backs more. And this year that hasn't been the case. They upgraded the linebacking core, added Drew Tranquil to the mix, a little more athletic linebacker. But this week, where I think if there is an area where Chicago could attack as well, Nick Bolton, Chiefs linebacker, best linebacker on the team, not available. He's already been ruled out for this game.
You know, I think the biggest problem for Roschon Johnson right now, and I don't know why more people aren't aware of this, but Khalil Herbert led the NFL in average yards per carry last year at 6.7. He rushed for over 800 yards. He's their number one running back right now, and can get better. And so when you add Johnson, and then they've got Deontay Foreman too, that's the way that they are going to attack the Chiefs this weekend. And it'd be fun if it was strength versus strength, but that's where the Chiefs run defense is likely to be tested.
Yeah. And then Alex mentioning that, you know, their defense, obviously their strong suit this season, is going to make it for a tough task for the Chicago Bears. But, you know, in your mind, what do you think? Obviously you've been following all the drama with Chicago this week, Alex.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, in your mind, like, what do you think is a victory for the Bears, right? Like, what do you think, the end of the game, what does that look like to you for that team?
I mean, I think you have to have Justin Fields look more like he did towards the end of last season than what he's looked like this so far, which is rookie year Justin Fields, right? I don't have to tell you guys that. I mean, I think a lot of it is you got to let him use his athleticism, and clearly he's thinking too much. I mean, for a quarterback to say that out loud about too many voices is pretty telling, to be that honest. I think if you're the coaching staff, I mean, at this point, you've got to let him showcase his skill set, which at this point in his career is still his legs more than it is his arm. And so I think if you get out of that game, even if you lose to Kansas City, if you get out of that game and you see a little bit of the same success that Justin Fields had, where he had, almost 1,200 yards rushing, and you start to see him be able to use that, get some confidence back, I think that's got to be the key going forward. It's still such a young season. You can go to 0-3 and everything, which nobody's going to be feeling great about. But if Justin Fields can at least show a little bit of what he did last year, I think gives you at least a little bit of hope going forward.
So, but Alex, here's the most interesting part. All of that great rushing that Justin Fields did last year led to 3-14. And that's why they spent the entire offseason focusing on developing a passing game. Now, I understand with all the silly stuff they had going on this weekend, they just want a good performance, so they might want him to run more this week. But Justin Fields running the ball more was proven last year is not only not the answer, it's the problem.
That's fair. But then doesn't that mean, you guys tell me, but then doesn't that mean that, heck, I'm sure you guys have talked about this. Well, then they should have drafted a different quarterback this past year, not traded down.
Well, that's only if you liked the four quarterbacks that were going in the first round. And I personally, and I've spent over 40 years theoretically being a media expert on the draft, I didn't think that any of those four guys were worth the number one pick in the draft.
Okay.
Now, having traded, maybe they could have traded down to 3 or 4 and taken one of them. I did like Anthony Richardson, but I could not fault them for not using the number one pick on a quarterback.
Yeah, that was the big question here everybody had, is whether or not that was going to end up being the correct decision or not. And it's so early to tell on any of these rookie quarterbacks at this point. I actually think C.J. Stroud looks the best, but I don't know if that's actually going to be the case by the time we get to later on in the season.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Alex, sorry, before I let you go, I know college basketball is right around the corner. How them Jayhawks looking? How they looking?
Yeah, you know what, Hunter Dickinson, when you get a transfer like that from Michigan and a huge prize for Bill Self, I mean, they're going to be right back in the mix heading into the season. I don't think they've had, you know, a roster this talented, believe it or not. I know we say that every year. It feels like when we talk about Bill Self in Kansas. But Hunter Dickinson's a game changer. I mean, he might be the Naismith Player of the Year this year, and he's on the Jayhawks in a just loaded Big 12, because now you add in Houston to the conversation. This conference is going to be nuts, but Kansas will be right there in the thick of things, like always, I feel like.
You know, Alex, it's hard enough being a Michigan alum and talking about Justin Fields without being criticized for being a Michigan alum, but then to hear that you're ruining my basketball team, too. I didn't need that tonight.
Oh, Alex.
Oh, man.
But hey, man, have a great weekend. Enjoy the game on Sunday, and look forward to talking to you soon.
All right, thank you, guys.
Of course. Alex Gold, host of Cody and Gold, and That Betting Show on 610 Sports Kansas City. Make sure you guys are following him on social media as well. Does a great job. You know what he was doing over the summer, or over the good course of the last year? He was like the main source for legalization of gambling in Missouri. He was trying to figure out, Missouri. And he was trying to figure out, you know, he was just always on top of it, talking to politicians, getting it on, and then, you know, bringing it to the airwaves. So the majority of his tweets in that time frame were about gambling, but he became the source for it because he was reporting on it and nobody else was, because obviously him and I, we love gambling. And we love chatting with you guys too. That's why we're opening up the phone lines again. 312-644-6767. Going to be talking to you next. You got any questions for Hub? Got any Bears thoughts? What do you think about the game this weekend, Justin Fields versus Patrick Mahomes? We'll taking your thoughts on all of that after the break. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Hub Arcus. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
with the support from Ryan and all those things, you know, that's I really appreciate that from him stepping in that moment yesterday or a couple of days ago there, because I could focus on football, you know. And I think that was really cool that that owner, president, you know, and the GM you know, stepped in there. That was really good.
Coach Eberflus giving some praise to his general manager, Ryan Poles. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Hub Arkish. It's 670 The Score. Got about a half an hour left with you guys. And so we're taking your calls. Opened up the phone lines for you. Any thoughts on the Bears? Any thoughts on Justin Fields leading into this big game on Sunday versus the Kansas City Chiefs? 312-644-6767. It is a Four Seasons heating, air conditioning, plumbing, and electric football Friday presented by your local Ford dealers and itsnotagameillinois.com. All right, Hub, let's go out to the phone line. Let's go to Jeff. He's on the road right now. Jeff, when you're looking at Justin Fields, do you think that he is a complete package right now?
No, not at all. Thanks for taking my call. So a couple of quick points. Number one, love the show. Is there ever really ever been a great running quarterback, which Justin Fields is clearly a good runner or great runner, but not a great passer? So how many quarterbacks can we name in NFL history who have been great runners but also great quarterbacks? Number two, even though the Bears don't have a great offensive line, they have receivers now. Aaron Rodgers didn't always have a great offensive line, but still a great quarterback. Tom Brady, Drew Brees, they always didn't have great offensive lines. Don't we think we'd know by now if Justin Fields was truly a great quarterback by now in his third year?
Thanks for the call, Jeff. I think I'll speak to the offensive line statement. All those quarterbacks, and Hubs talked about this all day today, they kind of have that instinctual quarterback, you know, knack to them. And so you can hide a bad offensive line if you can get rid of the ball quickly. We saw Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers do it to the Bears every single year. So I think you can hide things like that. As far as the great running backs, I mean, listen, there's only even if you're just talking about naming all the great quarterbacks, you still have a small list. It's not like you're naming 1,000 people. You still have a small list. So when you're talking about great running quarterbacks, and you know the ones that come immediately to the mind, Steve Young, Lamar Jackson, I mean, they are out there. And so it's better to see that there is a mold that you can fit into and that it does exist, as opposed to just it not being out there at all.
Yeah, I mean, great is a tough word. There have been a lot of very good running quarterbacks, but I can't think of a single very good or great quarterback who was a really good runner but a bad passer.
Right.
And that's really where the focus needs to be. There's nothing wrong with being a really good runner. I mean, Fields showed that last year. Of the three wins they got, two of them they don't get without him running the football. But it's not enough, you know, and that's nobody's more important than the quarterback getting it done, and he's not getting it done through the air.
Yeah, and again, I think it's something that we watch these games and you look at him playing, and you're right. It's just that it's the reason why people like Tyson Bagent, right? Because he comes to the line. There's a sense of calmness there, like he's been there before. And obviously you can talk about, you know, what that ceiling looks like, what he can be, or what all that stuff. But just talking about the poise that exists. And sometimes Justin does look like a deer, you know, in headlights at times. And I think that's the difference that we're talking about. But brings a great point. A very good running quarterback that is a bad passer, that doesn't exist when you're trying to win a Super Bowl. Let's go to Andy out in Streamwood. So when talking about the quarter, you have a question about the quarterback position for this Sunday, right?
Yes, Gabe. Thanks for taking my call, Hub. I'm glad you're healthy and back on the score.
Thank you.
And Gabe, I love your opening and closing every show that you do, and I'm glad that you're on the score.
Thank you. Thank you.
My question was for both of you and your thoughts. You just mentioned Tyson Bagent, who's a backup quarterback, and he had a lot of praise during the preseason and the practice, whatever you want to call it. So at what point do you guys think that they should try him out? Because in all the years that I followed football, the Bears, I mean, I've never heard so much praise for a backup quarterback versus our starting quarterback.
Well, first of all, let's be clear. The main reason, that you hear as much as you do about Bagent is because he comes from a Division II school. you know, and he wasn't drafted and nobody expected him to be. But when you look at his numbers and his stats and what he's produced and the amount of football he's played and how well he's played it, you can't ignore the fact that it wasn't against top talent, but you do have to give him credit for what he's accomplished. And then the fact that he came to camp, he worked all summer long, and he played well enough, you know, during the summer and the preseason to make the football team, or to be too good to cut, I guess would be a better way to put it, is what's interesting about him. At some point, you have to see him play a real NFL game. And I hope we don't, because that means Justin is playing much right. better.
Or hurt.
But
or
I
hurt.
Think it's pretty logical at this point that he's going to get a chance to play before the season's over. And I am excited to see it, because yeah. with what I've seen so far, stranger things have happened. I mean, you know, who was Brock Purdy? Who was Tom Brady? know, the greatest quarterback of all time? Oh, sixth-round draft choice. So, yeah, anxious to see Badger. You can't pull the plug yet. It's just too soon.
Yeah, I think when you're talking about Justin Fields, they're going to give him every opportunity to prove that he either is the guy or isn't the guy. And they're going to do that all season long, and barring some injury, he will be the guy taking those snaps. But I think everyone's curious to see what Badger would look like with an actual NFL defense.
There is one other thing to consider, though. It may be, and this is quite possible, that they just decide that Justin needs a reboot. Give him a week or two off, like the Bears did with the right fielder. The Cubs did with the right fielder.
Yeah, Seiya Suzuki.
Yeah, and look how Suzuki's responding. Yeah. You know, and they may it may be a good idea to do that. In that case, there's not much point in putting Peterman on the field. I mean, you just cut him again the other day and then brought him back the next day. So I think the best possibility of Bajan being seen quickly is another bad week or two with Fields. And they say, hey, we just got to take a week or two off here. And Bajan would be out there just to fill time. But depending on how he produces, then we'll have more idea if he's somebody we should take seriously.
If we're going to lose, I don't mind an exciting loss.
Yeah.
And I think Bajan could give you that, whether it's, you know, some two interception game where he eventually throws a touchdown. It's going to be ugly, but at least it'll be exciting. And I think for me, that's all I'm looking for on my Sundays. Let's go to Mike out in Byron. So Mike, obviously a lot of conversations surrounding Justin Fields, but you have a question regarding the offensive coordinator. When you look at Getsy, do you feel like Getsy is the right guy for Justin Fields?
Well, I there's a question mark there, because he came in as a QB coach, not an offensive coordinator. And who he was QB coach for was Aaron Rodgers, who was a QB pocket passer. I mean, he's not a runner. He's not, you know, any gifted athlete outside the pocket like Justin Fields is. I don't know if he's calling the correct plays for Justin Fields.
Listen, I'll tell you this right now, Mike, because, you know, Hub, you mentioned him earlier in the show, and it is Dave wants that. And he has a good relationship with Luke Getsy. And I remember sitting in this room right here, talking to Coach right there, and we were talking about Getsy. And he was, the way he explained Getsy's expertise, like, he's ran so many different offenses. He has complete faith in that, you know, Getsy can run this, run that, whatever it might be, whether it, you know, it is Aaron Rodgers. To me, that's the big issue, right? Where people can say, I tweeted it out earlier in the week, and I said, my buddy's from Miami, and he said, hiring Luke Getsy to be the offensive coordinator for the Bears after being with Aaron Rodgers is like hiring Kobe Bryant's shooting coach to run the Miami Heat, right? You think Kobe's such a great shooter, and then you take a shooting coach and you give him the keys to an organization when really it's Kobe Bryant that's being Kobe Bryant. And so he was trying to make the same argument for Luke Getsy that Aaron Rodgers is going to make a lot of people look good, and including Luke Getsy in that moment. But it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, Hub. Like, you have to give Getsy that grace in order to change the game plan in real time. He thought something, you know, to start the season off, and he has to correct it. Now, if he doesn't and he's stubborn, which I can't imagine will be the case, then you have to look at him and what he's doing as the offensive coordinator. But I think he's earned the ability to have more weeks under his belt before we just say, hey, this isn't the guy for Justin Fields.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Getsy was a shocking hire or somebody questioned whether he was, you know, ready to be an offensive coordinator or not. And I got to tell you, if you're hiring an offensive coordinator to focus on one or two things as opposed to the entire offense, all 11 starters plus your depth and having them be taught to run the entire offense, you know, not just runs or passes, then you've made a mistake right off the top. And I haven't heard anybody around the NFL saying Luke Getsy was a bad hire. You know, right. Luke Getsy wasn't ready to be the Bears offensive player. You're not hearing that at all. And I just think I've been talking a lot about this the last couple hours. There is so much pressure, so much overreaction, so many people in a hurry. This, I'm not saying it's going to work or they're going to win a Super Bowl next year, but I will tell you they're going to be better on offense in 3 or 4 weeks than they are right now. There has to be, there doesn't have to be patience before you get angry and frustrated, but there has to be patience before you evaluate how good or bad a coach is at what he's doing until he's been given a chance to show you, because the first two games, you know, it just isn't enough. And, yeah. And the fact that they were winnable games, you know, they didn't play great teams. Yeah, you know, you would have liked them to have done better, but they're still learning his system. They've got all these kids, all these rookies that are playing now. I know it's not what anybody wants to hear, but I also know that it's a fact. It's true. It's going to take a little more time before it is fair to evaluate.
Especially with new pieces.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said it several times over, it's a complete rebuild. This isn't adding a couple things or a revamp. This is a complete rebuild. And you do have guys operating in a system that are brand new. That is tough. But I think, but the reality is, right? You said we're going to evaluate them on a game-by-game basis. Fans are, mm-hmm. right? I mean, the trained eye, those that are on a different level, they're going to give them that grace. But fans, they're like, what are you doing on Sunday? What did that game look like? And that's what I'm going to judge you on.
You know, I'll tell you what would really help. I don't know if it'd help, but what would be good for me and what would be good for, I think, for all of us, media, fans, whoever it may be, if we could just, after the game against the Chiefs, get a copy of what the play calls were. What the play calls were, but what Getsy called, and then go back and watch the tape and see how they evaluate. Then you've got more information. I keep hearing, why doesn't he use DJ Moore more? How do you know he's not trying? You know, you don't know what play was called. You just know that Justin didn't throw him the football.
That's what Getsy said after week one. He's like, I was calling plays for DJ Moore. Yeah. They just didn't get the ball to him.
I mean, you know, without the same information that they have, we can't, you know, really evaluate their performance because we don't know what their players are doing with what they're giving them.
True. Let's go back out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez, Hub Arcus here on 670 The Score. Let's go to Alec out in Milwaukee. Alec, when you're looking at this Bears team, what do you think the biggest issue is?
Hey, Gabe. First time caller here. Big fan of the show, man. My biggest concern, a little bit of a hot take perhaps, but I think it's more of a organizational issue maybe. Looking back a little bit at even Mitch, you know, wasn't a perfect quarterback by any means, you know, didn't end up working out, but a lot of people pointed to Nagy, coaching, infrastructure. I see a lot of the same stuff here now where, you know, you see Fields, immensely talented, should have all the physical tools to be a great quarterback, be able to be someone who gets those wins, you know, puts those wins together, gets us to the playoffs again. I'm starting to see that pattern where I'm starting to doubt the people making the decisions all the way up to the ownership level, where if they're not hiring the right people to make the right decisions to put infrastructure around the quarterback, hire the right coaches to develop them, you know, et cetera, for the rest of the team, not even just the quarterback position, but specific to the quarterback position. I'm starting to seriously doubt whether, you know, top down, if the McCaskies, if George, everyone is really evaluating what they need from a decision maker, you know, not negatively reflecting on polls by any means, but man, it's tough. We see all these guys who come through like Mitch, all these tools, you know, didn't work out. Fields, immense tools, not shaping up great so far, still some, you know, to be figured out, but it starts to, you know, the finger pointing goes around. Is it Getsy? Is it, you know, Eberflus, you know, as a whole with his staff, is it George? Is it Poles? I mean, the finger pointing goes around and around and around. And at the end of the day, it's got to end up going to the top at some point, the people who are hiring the people making the decisions. So my take is simply maybe it's a, you know, ownership issue and things won't change until the McCaskies are no longer owning the Bears, unfortunately. Thanks for taking my call and looking to hearing forward to what you're saying.
You know, that's a conversation that we've been having, I think, for as long as I've been doing this job.
Right.
And, you know, I can tell you, it's not the McCaskies. I mean, they're not doing that hiring. They're approving it, but they're not doing it. They are hiring the GM. There's no question about that. I'm sure they have input with the head coach, but it's the GM who is doing that. So, you know, they have won a Super Bowl. It was a long time ago, but they did, you know, and they can do it again, you know, if they bring in the right people. But I'm going to, again, come back to something I think I've said nine times now tonight, is that it's just too early to fairly evaluate Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus. I mean, they've had one season and two games. They set out this year to rebuild the roster. They didn't completely change it in one off season. And so you may be right. I'm not saying you're not, but I will say strongly, we just don't know enough yet about Flus, about Getsy, about Poles to be this critical of them, because they haven't had a chance to do what we want them to do.
Yeah, I think it's too early. I think, Alec, to your point, I think what you're really highlighting is the fact that there are multiple moving parts to a winning organization. And you've mentioned eight of them in your comment, but they all have to be working harmoniously in order to have a good product on the field. And sometimes certain things are working well, certain things aren't. And you kind of got to figure that out and where that is. And I think that's where the organization is right now. I think that's what Hub's alluding to, the fact that they are still early. Guys are still cooking in the kitchen, like a lot of people were saying Poles is doing over the offseason. And I think we have to allow them to do that. And again, we go back to the Super Bowl or bust mentality. There are 30 teams that are still in the middle of that. And I think that, you know, we have to give grace. And we can also be frustrated. I want to be very clear. We can also be frustrated and voice that. But we also have to give grace to the organization that is really trying to right the ship. And if we felt good about Eberflus and Ryan Poles last year and what they were doing, the direction of the Chicago Bears, then we have to allow them that space to feel that way this year.
You know, another thing to consider, or at least to look at very quickly, is they've had this one, well, they've had two actually off seasons, but when you haven't even coached a game yet, that first off season isn't worth all. And they were still trying to decide who they needed to replace.
Yeah.
So they've really had one off season so far to rebuild this roster. And whether you like it or not, the guys they brought in have played two games. So we don't know what they did this offseason yet. We're going to have a much better idea in a few more weeks. And by midseason or three quarters of the season, I think it's fair at that point to either criticize or compliment. But you just, off two games, you're going to make this decision? You can't. You know?
I'm pouting. I'm throwing in the towel. I'm done with the Bears after these two. Well, they get another opportunity to look good, at least, win or lose, against the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday, and we'll be watching that one closely. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Hub Arkish. Got about 15 minutes left with you guys. So, Hub, I know you're a season ticket holder for the Cubs. It's only fitting we chat a little bit about them and where they're at in their playoff hunt. So we'll chat a little bit about the Chicago Cubs and say our goodbyes on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez, Hub Arkish, here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Mr. Two. Deep drive to left. This ball's got a chance. Gone. Seiya Suzuki. Two-run homer to left. Cubs lead 3-0.
It's Gabe Ramirez, Hub Arkish, live and local on Friday. And we've been dominating the last 3 hours with Bears football. So now we get a chance to switch it up a little bit before we get out of here. How long you been a Cubs season ticket holder for?
I grew up in Wrigley Field going to Bears and Cubs games. And
you saw a Bears game at Wrigley Field?
Oh, plenty. Yeah, I'm old. I saw my first Bears game there and a number of them before they moved to Soldier Field. And as far as the Cubs, I mean, it was...
Wait. I got more questions. Yeah. Where'd you go to high school?
I went to high school in Deerfield.
Oh, okay.
When I was in, fourth or fifth grade, we moved out to the north suburbs. But okay. I grew up in Rogers Park and would get on the train and be at Wrigley Field in 15 minutes. And in those days, my parents thought it was fine when I was six or seven, the first time myself and my older brother, who's only a year older than me, started going to games. That was our summer vacation.
Wait, exactly.
Some people went away to summer vacation. We went to Wrigley Field.
You were taking buses and to get to Wrigley at 7-8 years old with your brother?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
It was a different world then.
Most certainly.
It was a very different world then.
Most certainly. Well, it's funny because back then, no cell phones, no way of communicating with you. But then they're like, just be home when the lights go down and I know you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Well, plus it was my dad who caused all that. And he had already been taking us there for 3 or 4 years. So he knew we knew what to do.
That's a good point. So it wasn't just blindly. But the Cubs, the team that your beloved Cubs, won today 6-0 versus the Colorado Rockies. It's been a weird couple of weeks for the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, it really has. And I think the thing that has me the most concerned is the way the pitching is kind of coming apart. The hitting, they've had dry spells, but that's going to happen no matter how good your hitters are, and they haven't completely fallen apart. I mean, even after the first losing streak, they go score 13 runs last Friday night, whenever it was. And so that doesn't worry me as much as I don't want to say poor or bad, but questionable as the pitching has been the last 10
games. No, you said it best when you said falling apart.
Yeah, exactly. And now some of it's the injuries, to your closers I got to give their Cy Young Award winner.
Justin Steele.
Justin Steele, I got to give him the benefit. Two starts ago is where it seemed to come. It was really two bad pitches. That wasn't a terrible outing. The other night was terrible.
Yeah.
And that was disappointing, And then to have Stroman come back and yet not really find a position, or I think he will this week sometime.
He's going to be starting tomorrow. He will be the starting pitcher for the Chicago Cubs tomorrow, second game of the series with the Rockies. You bring up some great points, with the injuries. I mean, really did falling apart is the best way to put it. And you're right. The offense of the Chicago Cubs, that's been the consistent thing. Inconsistently consistent, but consistent nonetheless. The pitching carried them in the very beginning. Stroman obviously pitching well. Justin Steele pitching well. But then this back half, not even back half, back last 2 weeks, it's been odd for the Chicago Cubs, especially because when you talk about pitching, if they do make this playoffs, where right now they're hanging on to that last wild card spot, what does that rotation look like?
Yeah, so here's what I would say, having been a fanatic Cubs fan for over 60 years now. I've been through this a few times before.
Just a few.
Okay, but what I feel is different this time, and I didn't know this until about midseason, there is too much talent on the field beyond the pitching not to be a wild card team. I mean, when you look at the years that Bellinger and Swanson and you're having, with Suzuki now all of a sudden, Morel fascinates me. I don't know what to make of him, but
wild
he fascinates me. Yadin Gomes is having a great year, and I haven't mentioned Nico.
Playing well.
There's plenty of talent, and these are not unwinnable games, these next six or eight, I guess it is, and they've got to win 6 to 7 of them at least, and I think they will, because I just think that they have the better talent.
Yeah, they have a pretty tough schedule coming up. They're going to end the season against the Braves and the Brewers. That's going to be a tough six games there, but then they have two more against the Rockies. So they're going to have to play well. Fortunately, Atlanta, they're pretty secured into their spot. They're not dropping down to number two. So, the last couple of games of the season, they might not be playing as well. But the Cubs themselves need to pick it up so that way they can have good momentum leading into the playoffs. Yeah.
Now, the other thing that you don't want, but I think is good for the Cubs, is the Braves and the Brewers. Did the Braves,
Braves got the one spot. Dodgers got the two. Milwaukee will have the three. So if the playoffs were to begin today, the Cubs will be playing the Brewers.
Right, but I thought I heard that the Braves confirmed their spot today and that the Brewers only need two more wins. So by the time the Cubs get them, they're going to be playing teams that are cleaning up. They're going to be playing teams that I'm sure they would like to win, but it's not going to be their main focus at that point, which is better than if they got those two teams a month ago.
Of course, the Cubs hanging on to a one-game lead against Cincinnati, half a game over the Miami Marlins. But fortunately, Colorado Rockies are on the menu tomorrow. As mentioned, Marcus Stroman going to be making his start. How exciting is that for Cubs fans to see something like that, Stroman getting back in there? They were down on him a couple of weeks ago saying, oh, he hasn't had a good outing in a while. But now, most certainly, Cubs fans are excited to see the Stro show tomorrow. He'll be going up against Chris Flexen, who had a really good game against the Cubs last time they played. So you can catch that right here on 670, The Score, first pitch, 1:20 p.m. All right, got to thank our guests for today. Mark Grody for hanging out with us, Mike Sando from The Athletic, and of course, Alex Gold out there from Kansas City. Hub, this is our first time doing a show together. This is pretty fun.
It was fun. I really enjoyed it. I hope we'll get a chance to do it again, and have a great weekend.
I hope so. All right, mi gente. That means my people, hasta la próxima. That means until next time, I am Gabe Ramirez. He is Hub Arkish. Oh, wait. And I got to shout out our producer extraordinaire, Tyler Farengal. Oh, no clip there. No worries, Tyler. No worries, baby T. We'll get you next time. All right, we're out of here. The Chicago Sports Radio. Have a great weekend. 670 The Score.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Four.
So two. Deep drive to left. This ball's got a chance. Gone. Seiya Suzuki, two-run homer to left. Cubs lead 3-0.
It's Gabe Ramirez, Hub Arcus, live and local on Friday. And we've been dominating the last 3 hours with Bears football. So now we get a chance to switch it up a little bit before we get out of here. How long you been a Cubs season ticket holder for?
I grew up in Wrigley Field going to Bears and Cubs games. And
you saw a Bears game at Wrigley Field?
Oh, plenty. Yeah, I'm old. Oh, yeah, I saw my first Bears game there and a number of them before they moved to Soldier Field. And as far as the Cubs, I mean, it was...
Wait, I got more questions. Yeah. Where'd you go to high school?
I went to high school in Deerfield.
Oh, okay.
When I was in, fourth or fifth grade, we moved out to the north suburbs. But okay. I grew up in Rogers Park and would get on the train and be at Wrigley Field in 15 minutes. And in those days, my parents thought it was fine when I was six or seven, the first time myself and my older brother, who was only a year older than me, started going to games. That was our summer vacation.
Yeah, exactly.
Some people went away to summer vacation. We went to Wrigley Field.
You were taking buses to get to Wrigley at 7, 8 years old with your brother?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
It was a different world.
Most certainly.
It was a very different world then.
Most certainly. Well, it's funny because back then, no cell phones, no way of communicating with you. But then they're like, just be home when the lights go down and I know you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Well, plus it was my dad who caused all that. And he had already been taking us there for 3 or 4 years. So he knew we knew what to do.
That's a good point. So it wasn't just blindly. But the Cubs, the team that your beloved Cubs, won today 6-0 versus the Colorado Rockies. It's been a weird couple of weeks for the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, it really has. And I think the thing that has me the most concerned is the way the pitching is kind of coming apart. The hitting, they've had dry spells, but that's going to happen no matter how good your hitters are, and they haven't completely fallen apart. I mean, even after the first losing streak, they go score 13 runs last Friday night, whenever it was. And so that doesn't worry me as much as I don't want to say poor or bad, but questionable as the pitching has been the last 10
games. No, you said it best when you said falling apart.
Yeah, exactly. And now some of it's the injuries, you know, to your closers I got to give their Cy Young Award winner.
Justin Steele.
Justin Steele, you know, I got to give him the benefit. Two starts ago is where it seemed to come. It was really two bad pitches. That wasn't a terrible outing. The other night was terrible.
Yeah.
And that was disappointing, you know. And then to have Stroman come back and yet not really find a position, or I think he will this week sometime.
He's going to be starting tomorrow. Will be the starting pitcher for the Chicago Cubs tomorrow, second game of the series with the Rockies. You bring up some great points, you know, with the injuries. I mean, it really did. Falling apart is the best way to put it. And you're right. The offense of the Chicago Cubs, that's been the consistent thing. Inconsistently consistent, but consistent nonetheless. The pitching carried them in the very beginning. Stroman obviously pitching well. Justin Steele pitching well. But then this back half, not even back half, last 2 weeks, it's been odd for the Chicago Cubs, especially because when you talk about pitching, if they do make this playoffs, where right now they're hanging on to that last wild card spot, you know, what does that rotation look like?
Yeah, so here's what I would say, having been a fanatic Cubs fan for over 60 years now. I've been through this a few times before.
Just a few.
Okay, but what I feel is different this time, and I didn't know this until about midseason, there is too much talent on the field beyond the pitching not to be a wild card team. I mean, when you look at the years that Bellinger and Swanson and you're having, you know, with Suzuki now all of a sudden, Morel fascinates me. You know, I don't know what to make of him, but
wild
he's fascinating. Yan Gomes is having a great year, and I haven't mentioned Nico.
Playing well.
There's plenty of talent, and these are not unwinnable games. These next six or eight, I guess it is, and they've got to win 6 to 7 of them at least, and I think they will because I just think that they have the better talent.
Yeah, they have a pretty tough schedule coming up. They're going to end the season against the Braves and the Brewers. That's going to be a tough six games there, but then they have two more against the Rockies. So they're going to have to play well. Fortunately, Atlanta, they're pretty secured into their spot. They're not dropping down to number two. So, you know, the last couple of games of the season, they might not be playing as well. But the Cubs themselves need to pick it up so that way they can have good momentum leading into the playoffs.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that you don't want, but I think is good for the Cubs, is the Braves and the Brewers.
Braves got the one spot. Dodgers got the two. Milwaukee will have the three. So if the playoffs were to begin today, the Cubs will be playing the Brewers.
Right, but I thought I heard that the Braves confirmed their spot today and that the Brewers only need two more wins. So by the time the Cubs get them, they're going to be playing teams that are cleaning up. You know, they're going to be playing teams that I'm sure they would like to win, but it's not going to be their main focus at that point, which is better than if they got those two teams a month ago.
Of course, the Cubs hanging on to a one-game lead against Cincinnati, half a game over the Miami Marlins. But fortunately, Colorado Rockies are on the menu tomorrow. As mentioned, Marcus Stroman going to be making his start. How exciting is that for Cubs fans to see something like that, Stroman getting back in there? They were down on him a couple of weeks ago saying, oh, he hasn't had a good outing in a while. But now, most certainly, Cubs fans are excited to see the Stro show tomorrow. He'll be going up against Chris Flexen, who had a really good game against the Cubs last time they played. So you can catch that right here on 670, The Score, first pitch, 1:20 p.m. All right, got to thank our guests for today. Mark Grody for hanging out with us, Mike Sando from The Athletic, and of course, Alex Gold out there from Kansas City. Hub, this is our first time doing a show together. This is pretty fun.
It was fun. I really enjoyed it. I hope we'll get a chance to do it again, and have a great weekend.
I hope so. All right, mi gente. That means my people. Hasta la próxima. That means until next time. I am Gabe Ramirez. He is Hub Arkish. Oh, wait. And I got to shout out our producer extraordinaire, Tyler Farrengal. Oh, no clip there. No worries, Tyler. No worries, baby T. We'll get you next time. All right, we're out of here. The Chicago Sports Radio. Have a great weekend. 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.